Advent means arrival. It's from the Latin word adventus. So it means arrival. So let's look to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 45. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." I wanted to stop right there. This is not in my sermon, but I want you to know God knows where you live. Did you notice that? He sent him to a specific town, to a specific place, to a specific person, right? He didn't get there and not find Mary, but found Harry and said, "Mary moved a few weeks ago." And, you know, no, he knew exactly where Mary was. He knew her by name. He knows you by name, and he knows where you live. And if he needs to send an angel to your address to tell you something, he will do that. Because he cares as much for you as he does Mary. I hope that sinks in at some point. Verse 27 said, "To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now her sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Father God, we just come before you today. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which holds life for us. It holds wisdom. It holds direction and correction, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have imparted to us this precious book that we hold, Father, the Word of God. It is our instruction manual for this life. Father God, I pray that the Spirit of God would dwell with each one of us today, would minister life to us, would break things off of our spirit. Father God, we submit to you and we look to you today for a supernatural experience, Father, that you want to work in this church, but in each individual life. God, have your way with each one of us. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the sermon today is, "Are You Pregnant with the Promise?" Are you pregnant with the promise? Which the promise is the hope that we would have. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to speak on the advent of Christ. And we're going to talk about those things that Jesus has brought into our life. Joy and hope and love. So we're going to talk about each one of those each week. Or one each week. And I pray that it will just ignite something in your heart. Advent, like I said, means the arrival or coming. The Jews were expecting the Messiah. They knew to be looking for the Messiah. They knew the Word of God. They learned it in school. They memorized at least the Torah and some parts, I believe, of Psalms and the Proverbs they had to memorize, and the prophets also. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I love the word dwelt. In some versions, it's said tabernacled. The Word of the Lord became flesh and tabernacled among us, dwelt. He lived among us. I hope that we don't trade what the world calls Christmas for what we know Christmas is. It's a bad trade, guys. When your mind gets off of what God has done in this world through Jesus Christ onto Santa Claus and a Christmas tree and presents around the tree, it's a bad trade. We need to constantly remind ourselves, what is Christmas time really all about? I will tell you, it's about hope coming into this life. What is hope? Hope is a confident expectation. You listen to me, really close. Hope is not a wish. Hope is a confident expectation because it's tied to something. It's tied to the Word of God. It's tied to a voice that God has spoke a word to you. It's got some concrete. It's got some root in it, right? So hope is not a wish. Hope is something that God, get this, this is what I see. God says, He breathed something into you that caused you to hope. Psalms 119, verse 49 says, "Lord, help me to remember the word that you spoke to me that caused me to hope." I hope that each one of us have something that God has breathed into you that caused you to hope, that you got your teeth in and your fist around and saying, "I will not give up on the promises of God." The Jews knew to look for the Messiah. I wanted to show you some of the, there's like over 400 prophecies of Jesus' birth, and He fulfilled every one of them. I wanted to go through these very quickly. In Genesis 3:15, goes all the way back to Genesis, He said that the Messiah would be the seed of a woman. In Genesis 12, He said the Messiah would be the descendant of Abraham. In chapter 22, the Messiah would be a willing sacrifice. Exodus 12, the Messiah would be the Passover lamb. Numbers 21, the Messiah would be lifted up from the earth. And Ruth chapter 4, the Messiah would be our kinsman redeemer. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, He would be a descendant of David. In Psalms 2, He would be called God's son. Psalm 16, He would be resurrected. In Psalms 22, you may not have known that Psalms was such a prophetic book, but it is. He would be rejected, forsaken by God, have His hands and feet pierced, have His clothes divided, but vindicated by God. Psalm 69, He would be the righteous suffer. Psalms 118, He would be the rejected cornerstone. In Isaiah, He said He would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 9, He says His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 35, He would perform signs of healing. Isaiah 40, He would have a forerunner. 42, He would be the light for the nations of the world to see. Isaiah 53, He would be the suffering servant. Jeremiah 31, He would be the object of a murderous plot. Jeremiah 31, He would also bring in a new covenant. Micah 5, He would be born in Bethlehem. In Zechariah 9, He would become riding on a colt. And Zechariah 11 said He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 12, I'm about to shout, He would be pierced. I'm telling you guys, if you don't have your eye on the Messiah today, you got your eye on something you ought not be looking at. You better keep your eye on the Messiah, because the Advent said He's coming, but there's another Advent that says He's coming again. Boy, we know He's coming. Hallelujah. There's an Advent coming. the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church that I am looking forward to. Don't miss what God wants to do in your life. God wants to impregnate you. Can you imagine this little 15-year-old girl and an angel shows up and calls her highly favored one and she's just like you? She's just like you. The angel says, "Oh, highly favored one," and she goes, "Who are you talking to?" "Me? I'm just a little poor girl. What are you talking about, highly favored one?" You see, when God calls you by name, you probably won't recognize yourself. Because the way God sees you and the way you see you is two totally different things. God says, "Oh, highly favored, you have caught the sight of the Most High God." And she said, "Me? Me? Are you kidding me?" He says, "This is what's fixing to happen to you." And she said, "I'm pure. I've never had relationships with any man. How can I have a baby?" He said, "It's not going to be born of a man. An angel or the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And you're going to conceive." You know, in Romans chapter 15, verse 12 through 15, or 12 through 13, it says, and again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope." That's us, guys. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Mary is a good example of what God wants to do in each one of us. I know some of you are thinking, "I don't want that gift. Hey, I don't want the Holy Spirit to breathe upon my wife and cause a child to be conceived. No, I am past that stage. Thank you very much. I'll take another gift, but you can give that one to a 20-year-old, not to a 50-year-old. But God wants to give you what you need. Let me take that back. God wants to give you what this world needs. It's more than just about you. Mary may not have needed a Savior as much as we needed a Savior, right? So God used Mary for something to change the world. And I just believe He wants to do that for each one of us. There's hope. The first point that I want to make to you is the conception of a miracle. It begins with a proposition. God reveals to you, but you have to believe. In Luke chapter 1, verse 45, it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be no fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." If you can believe it, God can fulfill it. God's part is the conception. Your part is to believe. Has God ever spoke something to your heart that you had a hard time believing? If your life has been plagued with failure, and God looks at you and He calls you a success, you may say, "Who are you talking about?" He's talking about you. He's talking about your future with God. You see, we tend to think that life is going to stay the same predicament that I'm in right now, life is going to remain the same. That's ridiculous. If I've learned anything in 56 years, it's this: life changes, and it changes often, right? Don't get used to any certain environment, because life has a way of changing. But with God, I have hope that the changes will be great. The changes will be beneficial. The change will be good for me, not detrimental. The second thing is, after the conception of the miracle, it's where the work really begins. Now you have to carry the miracle. You see, your job at the conception is to believe. Is this really, the Spirit of God spoke to me a few minutes ago, and I almost stopped service to speak this word out, but I really believe the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "I want to break things off of people's lives today. I want to break things off of your life." I'm going to get spooky on you just for a second, okay? There are spirits that want to attach to you. demonic spirits. I'm not saying you're demon possessed, but I'm saying a Christian can have demonic spirits that attach to us to bring us down. Depression, fear, different things like that will attach itself to you. Failure, a spirit of failure will attach itself to you. And God says, I want to break it off of your life. I really believe that's a word from the Lord today. God wants to break some things off of your life to cause you to triumph. But the second point of this sermon is now you have to carry the miracle. You have conceived the miracle. You have believed that what He can do, He will do. But now you have to carry it. This is the longest stage of a pregnancy, right? You know, the conception is short. Sometimes the completion of it, I don't want, ladies would stone me if I say it's short and uneventful. But most of the time is fairly short in the scheme of things. But it's the 9 months that you carry that baby. Can I just tell you, that's the way it works spiritually too. This is the most important time of your life. After the conception of the miracle in your spirit, now you've got to carry that thing to completion. And what you do and how you do it is critically important. You see, there are miscarriages in life, but there's miscarriages in the spirit realm also. Have I got your attention yet? There are people that give up on the promises of God. There are people that they'll feel the Holy Spirit calling them and speaking into their life, and they will say, yes, Lord, I believe that's true. I believe you do want to do something in my life. But somewhere during the 9 months, they give up on the promise. They have a spiritual miscarriage. God, I just want to speak this into your life so bad. Don't give up on the promises. Come on, church, listen to me. Listen to what the Spirit of God says. Some of you are weary in well-doing. I'm telling you, don't give up on the promise. Don't give up on that hope that's within you. God wants to carry it through. The very first thing that we see that Mary did when she received that promise, she wanted to be around other miracle carriers. She goes to her aunt's house, Aunt Elizabeth's house, who the angel of the Lord says, by the way, your aunt's already received a miracle. She's 6 months pregnant and she was called barren. Man, I'm telling you, you better be getting this. There are things that Satan has spoken into your life that you think are true. Oh, Jesus, I feel this. I'm telling you, I feel the Spirit of God saying the Spirit, Satan has sold you a bill of goods. He's told you you're worthless. He's told you you're in poverty. You're always going to stay in poverty. You're ignorant. Just keep your mouth shut. Stay in your seat. Stay in your lane. Maybe you'll get out of this thing alive. And Jesus said, that's not true. I've got something better for you. I've got a great plan for you. If you'll just believe me, if you'll hold on to the promise, don't lose your pregnancy. Don't lose your hope. This is the difficult stage right here of sticking to the promise of God. God wants to do something in your life. There are no failures in the kingdom of God. You hear me? There are no failures. God doesn't say, well, I'll appoint 10% to make an A, and I'll appoint 15% to make a B, and 25% to make C's, and 50% of the class has got to fail the class because there's a bell curve. There's no bell curve in the kingdom of God. God calls every one of us to success, to triumph. It's up to us. Will I diligently give myself to hear the voice of God and let Him complete the promise? I'll tell you, I thought this was just going to be a nice, quiet, easy service that I'm just going to, oh, let's talk about Advent. Oh, man. You have to focus your attention on the promise, not the problems it's causing. You mean to tell me that the promise may cause problems? Absolutely. What do you think about Mary? Mary's a 15-year-old girl who's now pregnant, whose fiance says, "Hey, my baby." And she goes to her friends and says, "Well, the Holy Spirit came upon me." Yeah, right. That happened to my brother's girlfriend also. I guess that was the Spirit of God too. People can be mean. Not everybody's going to buy into your promise. Not everybody's going to buy into the things that God has spoken into your life. I'll guarantee you, when Julie was going through this thing, there were some people that says, "I'm praying for you and I'm believing God for you." There was other people planning her funeral. You better stick around those who believe in miracles. You better be hanging with those who have experienced something from God. I tell you, that birds of a feather flock together. There's a lot of truth to that thing. You better be hanging with people like precious faith and let them breathe faith into you. The world's got a plan for you too. You know, in this portion of Scripture, in verse 46, Mary said after she received that, she began to say, "My soul does magnify the Lord." It's called the Magnificat. It's from Latin. This portion of Scripture, Mary begins to praise Him, right? To praise the Lord. When God gives you a promise, the second thing you ought to do is begin to praise Him for that promise and continue that through the rest. Do you know a pregnant woman does everything different than she used to do? She watches what she eats. Maybe she ain't never watched her diet in her life. But all of a sudden, this woman is very cognizant with the fact that she is carrying another life in her body. And she thinks, "I don't want to eat the things I used to eat. I don't want to..." And women, pregnant women can eat some weird stuff, right? I mean... But they're very conscious of taking care of this baby before that belly ever pops out. Nobody else knows they're pregnant, but they know they're pregnant. And they begin to think about it. Their mind is always on that baby. 24 hours a day. The husband, what's he do? He only thinks about it when the belly gets big. When the baby starts kicking and he starts seeing the belly rolling. Oh yeah, you are pregnant, aren't you? Yeah, your life is fixing to change, Bubba. You better wake up. But she thinks about it from the time she gets up in the morning till the time she goes to bed. She thinks, "I better not drink that. I better not be smoking. Maybe I've smoked all my life, but I don't want to smoke anymore because I don't want to harm my child." Right? She knows that there's something in there that God is doing that I've got to protect. I'm telling you, if you could see in the Spirit, you'd say, "There's something in here that God is doing that I've got to protect." Ooh, Jiminy Christmas. Third point is there's the completion of the miracle. In Luke chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, it says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." We tell this story with such glee. We tell this story like, "Oh, look at this. How wonderful it is." Now, just go with me for a second. This little young girl is 9 months pregnant, and now she's got to go to another town on a donkey. Does that sound like fun, pregnant women? You've been 9 months pregnant. How would you like to take a donkey ride? Right? No, I'm not getting on that donkey. You mean, why do I have to go? I'm ready to deliver a child. I don't want to go to Bethlehem. Baby, you got to go to Bethlehem because the Word of God prophesied the Savior would be born in Bethlehem and not Nazareth. I'm telling you, the promise may cause you some discomfort. She goes and there's no room. There's no room right now in the inn. You got to go to the barn, young lady. There really was no barn. It was really a cave. And the manger that we talk about is really a feeding trough. We cleaned it up a little bit to make it more palatable. But let me think about it from Mary and Joseph's standpoint. Look at it from the young lady's point of view. This was not easy, and it will not be easy on you. I promise you, what God birthed in you will not come out easy. You're going to have to fight for the promise. But we have a promise of God. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who had began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you will walk with him, if you will cling to him, you will see the fulfillment of the promise that God spoke to your life. I believe there's lots of people in this room today pregnant with promise. And you may be 5-6 months along. You may be 9 months along. You might be ready to deliver any time. Don't give up. Do you realize Satan's going to fight you? He's going to see the signs that you're close to delivery. We always know when the delivery is close, right? I mean, you could tell on my wife delivery was close. My Lord, you look like you're going to pop. You know, we didn't need the doctor to say it's coming on Tuesday. We'd look at her and say, it better come by Tuesday. You can't keep carrying this child forever. Satan can see that sign too. Satan knows when things are getting close in your life to delivering the promise of God, and he does not want it to happen. One of the most brilliant things that Satan has done in this world is convince the world that there is a God, but there is no devil. How ridiculous is that? There is an enemy. If you're going to believe in God, you better believe that there's a devil also. There is an enemy of your soul, and he hates your guts. He wants to destroy you. He wants to make sure you do not. Why? Because he hates God. And you are a child of God. So he doesn't want to just destroy God. He wants to destroy God's influence. He wants to stop the promise. Do you realize how much glory God gets out of seeing a man that's considered a failure and taking him through a process and making him a success? And then when that man says, it ain't my doing, it's God's doing. God stands up and says, yeah, that's right. I blessed my son. God wants to do that in every one of our lives. He wants to impregnate you with a promise, with a hope of future. How many people during this time of the year, when everybody is thinking about, oh yes, let's drink eggnog and buy presents, some people think, let's just get it over. How many people will go through this Christmas, this year, first time ever without a loved one that their life was based on? First time without a wife. First time without a mom. First time without a dad. First time without a husband. Let me tell you, it may be joyous for some, but it's not joyous for everybody. And Christians, we need to wake up to the fact. We need to wake up to the fact that some people just need an extra hug during Christmas time. Some people don't need a present as much as they may need a love letter from you saying, hey, I know it's difficult. I'm standing with you. I love you. I want to see you succeed. You may think today, Pastor Eric, I appreciate your well-intentioned, but I'm not a candidate. I'm not a candidate for the blessing. You see, it starts off by talking about Mary being pure, and my life is anything but pure. You better listen to me right now, because I'm getting ready to deliver great news to you. My life is everything but pure, my brother. You don't know. If you just knew the kind of things that I have done in my life, you would not even want me in this church. That's a life in the pit of hell. I want you in this church. If you come from hell and still smell like smoke, I especially want you in this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That is a list that you do not want your name on. And some of you may say, Pastor, my name's on that list about four different times. I didn't make that list once. I'm on there almost with every description. Can I read the rest of it? And such were some of you. But you've been washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You may not see yourself as pure, but He says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I wash your sins. Quit seeing yourself as a sinner. Start seeing yourself as a saint of God. I've done the work. It's not by works, by your works. It's my work. It's when Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. The work's been done. Oh, welcome to Advent. I know you're thinking, well, I've heard some Advent sermons before, but I ain't ever seen the preacher spitting and shouting. And I'm going to tell you, I'm the most surprised today. I am just like, what are you doing to me? Are you waiting for the arrival of a promise? Are you in the stage where you're carrying the promise? I've not seen the baby, but I can feel it. I'm feeling Him kick. I know when He rose. I know it. Oh, Jiminy Christmas. I wish you guys would get this. You getting this? I mean, you know when you're pregnant with a promise. You know when the Spirit, your spirit has been impregnated by the Holy Ghost saying, hey, buddy, I'm taking you out of the miry clay. No longer are you living in that dirt and grime. I've got a new plan for you. I want to bring you out, put your feet on the solid rock of God. I'm going to change you. You will not be the same. Oh, that verse. Mary says, how can this be? And the angel says, don't you know that nothing is impossible with God? You may think this is an impossibility. Some of you look at your life right now and you think, it's impossible for me to come out of this pit. It's impossible for God to use me. Pastor, you might be preaching to the other 99, but you don't know who you're preaching to. You don't know the bad things I've done. I don't have to know. I know the God I serve. God ready to change you. Your worst enemy is yourself. You keep looking at yourself through these same old eyes. You see failure, but God sees success. Don't you know there's nothing impossible with God? What's the words that needs to come out of your mouth? I believe the promise. I believe what I hear the Spirit of God saying. I believe when God said, I want to break some things off of people's life. I want to break that failure. I want to break that poverty. I want to break that spirit of fear. I believe God spoke that to me today. What do you need to do? You need to say, I believe that word's for me. I'm ready to see my life change. Then we need to worship. My soul does magnify the Lord within me. Oh, geez. How many are you waiting on a miracle? Say, Pastor, if I get out of this thing alive, it's going to take a miracle. Maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's about a daughter. Maybe it's about a son. Say, Pastor, if I get my family back, it's going to take a miracle. I'm telling you, God's still a God of miracles. His power has not waned. The greatest miracle in this life is the new birth. That God could take a man and and make him a new creature in Christ. Oh, listen to the words. And so was some of you. Some of you, yes, you've been evil. You've been dirty. But you're not anymore. I have washed you. I have sanctified you. And I have brought righteousness into your life. The next advent that we're looking for is the rapture of the church. God said, I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Are you ready? Don't be like the Jews who had all the knowledge, but they wasn't expecting a suffering servant. They wasn't expecting a baby to be born in Bethlehem. Why would God go about it that way? I'm telling you, we better stop telling God how he has to answer our prayers. Just present it to the Lord and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. I know you're a healer. I know you're a deliverer. I know that you caused me to triumph. I'm telling you, I can't get those words out of my mind today. God causes us to triumph. God doesn't cause us to defeat. I don't know where to go from here. Would you stand with me? These candles, the middle candle is the candle that represents Jesus. The pink candle is the candle that represents joy. And these purple ones are signs of royalty. This is the candle that we're going to say is about hope. Are you hoping in the Lord? Are you ready to see God move in your life? The word of the Lord spoke today and said, I'm ready to break some things off of your life. Do you need some things broke off? If you want to respond to the word of the Lord, I'm going to ask you just to come and stand. If you're not saved today, the very first thing that you need to say is, I need to get into the family of God. So you come down here with these others.